this month as we talk about marriage and families. That's the focus. And for this week, I'm going to be kicking it off with a message on marriage. Now, I know that there's a lot of people in here that have been married a whole lot longer than I have, right? I'm going on almost 17 years with my smoking hot wife, Annie. And so for those that have been married for 50, 60 years, maybe you should be preaching this message. But what I'm here to tell you is that I do know and I have studied what the Word of God says about these topics. And I also know that our culture, our marriages, our families are being decimated at a level that has never been seen before in U.S. history. We're going to cover tough material, but I'm here to tell you that the Bible has a blueprint. We've been talking about it for the past several weeks, that sanctification process. There's a blueprint for all of this. And so there's a blueprint for you to have a happy marriage and a healthy family. But staying married these days is the exception, not the rule. And so this month is important. You need to be here. I'm going to say things that culture and maybe even yourself will disagree with. But I'm not going to give you the worldly view. I'm going to give you a biblical perspective that will hopefully help you navigate through this crazy thing that we call life. So I'm going to jump right into Scripture. I want to read you an encouraging verse in 1 Corinthians, and this is Paul, and he's talking to unmarried people, and it goes like this, 1 Corinthians 7:28. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. Thank you for being here today. I should about wrap it up. Thanks for coming. Listen, there's wisdom there. Paul's telling the unmarried people, listen, if you get married, you're going to have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. How often is the single person bummed that they don't have anyone? And the married people are bummed about the someone that they have. Shows, movies, books, they all shed light on the fact that marriage is tough. I want you to ask any couple, I might have some in here, I'm not sure, that have done pre-marriage counseling with me. And if you have done pre-marriage counseling with me, you'll know how I open up our very first session. I'm talking right off the bat. It's everything but a blood oath. I sit them down on my couch and I tell them that marriage, the thing that they're here to discuss, is hands down, bar none, not even a close second. If there was a second, maybe parenting. Amen. But it's without question the hardest thing that you're ever gonna have to do. Like ever. Now that's if you want to have a successful marriage. See, I try to explain to them that the person sitting right beside them on my couch, right now they hung the moon. But there will be days and weeks and maybe even months that you would not care one bit if that moon fell from the sky and landed on their adorable, argumentative, selfish, can't put his clothes in the hamper, little head. Amen? Guess what? It's part of the process. Listen to what James says in James 1:2. You can apply this to marriage. You ready? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, any's very all-inclusive. I had someone try to make an appointment with me this week, and they said, I can go anytime. I said, okay, let's go at this time. And he said, I can't go at that time. Well, and then any is not any. Okay. But this is any of any kind, marital, job, relationships, health, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of what? Great, not just a little. Consider it an opportunity for great joy as you elbow the person sitting beside you that you wouldn't mind if the moon fell on their head. So today, I'd like to begin to answer the question of why get married? Why get married? I'm going to give you three reasons why marriage is so incredibly important, and it has been the design since the very beginning. Now, if I went to the street right now and I asked random people, or even people in this church, why get married? Could you imagine the spectrum of answers that I would get? Right? I would talk to some, and marriage is the best thing that you could ever do, ever. And if you talk to others, then you would be terrified and you would run away from anything even resembling any emotional attachment. You'd throw away your stuffed animals. I don't even want to be attached to my toothbrush. I don't want to be attached to anything. You'd get different answers to why get married. See, as my job description as a youth pastor requires, I must interact with young people. Every day, I interact with young people. And unfortunately, folks, parents, grandparents, their picture of marriage is so skewed and jaded because they've seen their parents get divorced. They've seen their grandparents, a lot of them, get divorced. And so you better believe that they're in no rush or have any interest in marriage at all. See, our society no longer sees things like sex before marriage as a sin. Talk about finding a unicorn, right? Find two people that have saved themselves for only each other, which is the design. Let me tell you, church, it's a sin to have sex before marriage. Find me two people that have saved themselves for marriage. Every day, but it's very rare, right? People will tell me that you have to test drive the vehicle. They've told me that in marriage counseling. You got to test drive the vehicle before you buy it. See, I'm let you know a little secret. If you have that mentality, let me tell you this. That those that live together before marriage, and if you don't believe me, you can Google it. Those that live together before they get married, your divorce rate is exponentially higher. Not lower. If you live together before you get married, your divorce rate is higher. But see, society doesn't want to talk about that because guess what? People they want to do what they want. They want to live with whoever they want. They want to sleep with whoever they want and have no consequences. So why get married? Here's reason number one. Reason number one is this. Why get married? Let me give you some stats. Loneliness. Loneliness significantly increases a person's risk of premature death from all causes, a risk that rivals those of smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity. So basically, loneliness is just as dangerous as smoking, as being overweight, as being inactive. It will kill you just as fast as those things will. Social isolation is associated with a 50% increased risk of dementia. Annie, you'd be in trouble. You're already like halfway there. You're married. Loneliness among heart failure patients was associated with a 4 times increased risk of death, 68% increased risk of hospitalization, 57% increased risk of emergency department visits. Why get married? Companionship. We need each other. I wanted to learn the biggest complaint that women have about men and vice versa. So Tom, I went to Google like we all do, right? Do you want to know one of women's biggest complaints about their men? Do you know? That they're emotionally unavailable. Okay? They're not emotionally available. That's their biggest complaint. Do you want to know what the men's biggest complaint about their women is? that they're too emotional. Listen, I can't make that up. So you can start to see where the conflict comes in. You've got a dude that says, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it. And you got her that says, that's all I want to do is talk. Like, there's a design here, and we're going to go over that. But how funny. That's not coincidence, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about this month. But we need each other. It isn't good that man is alone. Do you know who said that? God said that. Quote from God. See, we aren't created to traverse this life alone. Genesis 2:20 through 24 says this, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out of one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. Verse 23, at last. I love that. Exclamation mark. Like, this is the first moment that a dude sees the hottest chick on the planet. Like, this is the first time, right? Adam sees his wife Eve, and he screams, at last. I've been seeing all these animals in these trees and these plants. Thank you, Lord, for Eve. At last, the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. Verse 24, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So why get married? We see it right here in Scripture. It's by God's design. See, God could have made Eve out of dust as well, right? He made Adam out of dust. He was the only thing that God actually put his hands on in creation. But then out of Eve came from the side of Adam. He took from his rib. Technically, that word rib is out of his side. And he made Eve. See, marriage today, folks, I'm here to tell you that marriage is an act of faith. Most people get married. Not all, I said most. When they're young and ignorant, you have no idea what you want to do or be. How do you know that you can be married? I'm here to tell you that you don't know if you can be married. You decide. You don't know, you decide. That's why it's an act of faith. You're choosing to live this life as a unit. No matter what comes, because you're alive, you're married, and you're going to live together for hopefully decades. Decades. You are going to go through the best and worst times of your entire life with this person that you choose to marry. I think we do a disservice to our younger generation to not talk about the worst. Because I've said myself out of my own words, you've made this commitment for better or worse. The better is good. Hey, we're having fun. We're in love. We're in lust. We can't keep our hands off each other. Better or worse. Infidelity. Husband, you ready for that? You said for better or worse. You made the commitment to God and yourself and your wife. For better or worse. You ready for her to cheat on you? For better or worse. Abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, addiction, losing your job, bankruptcy, losing a child. Why don't we talk about the worst? Because when we get married, we're so excited. Keep that same energy in 6 years. In 16 years, in 26 years, in 56 years. I saw somebody at the Y, they've been married 73 years. Did you get married when you were two? All those years weren't good. All those months and those days weren't good. But they did it. You decide to get married. We don't talk about the worst for better or worse. As sure as I'm standing on this stage, it's gonna get worse. You're going to have the worst days. But when you get married, you're choosing to say that no matter what, no matter how worse it gets, I'm here with you. We're together forever. When you're 20 years old, you don't really understand what forever means. When you're 22 and you say, till death do us part, well, you just got divorced and neither one of you are dead. You told me. I did your wedding. You promised me. More importantly, you promised each other. It's an act of faith. Would you rather do it alone? You're far better off in most any situation with a teammate than you are alone. And when I typed that, I thought to myself, what about a starvation situation? I said, is it better to be by yourself? And then I thought, still might be good to have a partner, just in case. I couldn't eat you, I'm just kidding. Maybe. So if this is God's design, okay, let's talk about this. What about people that aren't married? If I'm saying this is God's design, what about the people that aren't married? See, some either can't find one or they don't want one, right? And that's okay. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. It says this, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry. He said it's good. Verse 2, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. So do I think companionship in a marriage relationship is God's design? Absolutely 100%. I just got done showing you that there in Genesis. But does that mean that everyone has to get married to be part of God's plan? That is a very obviously resounding no, right? No, because guess what? Jesus wasn't married. Pretty important single guy, right? Jesus didn't get married. Paul didn't get married. So marriage isn't for everyone. But there's a whole lot of people that like to at least practice the next point that I'm about to make that single people don't get to be a part of. And so why get married? This leads me to my second point. You get to procreate. You get to procreate. Why get married? You get to procreate. Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern over it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. The human race is required to reproduce itself, right? We have to replace our broken selves. And I've told my children, I have four, I've told them on more than one occasion that I will not hesitate to take you out because I can make more of you. See, a big part of this procreation process is that the parameters to be able to participate in this activity are incredibly specific. Are you ready? One man, one woman, married. That's it. Not dating, not living together, not friends with benefits, not two of the same gender, not even engaged. Matt, we're going to get married in 6 hours. Can't we just do it? No. It's not the design. Married. Married. It. End of the story. Sex is reserved for marriage. That's the only time biblically that you're allowed or supposed to be having sex. Anything outside of that is a sin. And let me tell you that God has very strong thoughts, and he has a lot to say about sexual immorality and how much it will wreak havoc on your life and your marriage. Hebrews 13:4 says this, give honor. You should be honoring your husband. You should be honoring your wife. give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Wow. Doesn't get much more plainer than that. Listen, folks, I've been in the world recently, and I know that people don't give a rip if you're married or not married. The wedding ring used to mean something. It doesn't. Because marriages are so broken that a lot of people are just ready to jump on the next ship that looks good. That cruise ship has all-inclusive. All right, I'm jumping on that one. The sanctity of marriage, the importance of marriage is no longer there. The Bible says we're supposed to give honor to marriage. See, this loosey-goosey, redefine marriage and relationships, do whatever makes you happy, that I can tell you that Christians have adopted that as well. Okay, don't think, church, that you are like above. Like, I know plenty of church people that are living together. Plenty of church people, like, don't just think it's just the world and all the world's so bad. No. This is Christians as well. Christians are getting divorced as well. But it's destroying us. This mentality that marriage means nothing and that you can sleep with and have kids with and you can, no consequences. It's destroying us. Do you realize that America, the United States of America, is now at a full 50%, half of all children growing up, they're growing up in a single parent household. Half. It's mostly the mom. And the results are devastating. See, there's good reason that God speaks so strongly against sex outside of marriage, because it will affect you. It will creep into your life, and it will take you to places that you never thought you'd go. All because it makes you feel good. Because I promise you, my friend, that short 3 seconds of pleasure, and I'm counting your whole time, some of you men. Just kidding. That 3 seconds of pleasure, it's never worth it. And I can say never because the Bible tells me it's not worth it. It'll be fun for a little while, but you're going to get to the end of the rainbow and it's not going to be gold. That fleeting pleasure is never worth the consequences. And when it's time to pay up, the price is always, always, always going to be too high. So why get married? Because you get to procreate. You get to procreate. And while the practice is a blast, there's a more practical purpose to procreating. Why is it important to make more of you? See, when you're a Christ follower, this means something a little different. Because reproduction of yourself is critical. It's critical for the continuation and the expansion, not just of mankind, but of the kingdom of God. I need you to understand something, folks. You have two mission fields that are incredibly important. You have your spouse, should be your number one mission field. Your second mission field, incredibly important, is your children. Procreation in a Christian family gives the parents the privilege of raising their kids to love Jesus. Christian dads, the buck stops with you. Dad, your family's spiritual well-being is your responsibility, Dad. Not Mom, not Pastor Dan, not Pastor Matt. It's Dad. It's husband. Ephesians 6:4 says this: Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. See, teaching one's own child to love the Word of God is a privilege. You think you need to work harder, Dad, to get that promotion? It's not a bad thing. Working hard is not a bad thing. But are you taking the same energy and time each night or even once a week to sit down and teach your kids about the love and promises of your Creator. Matt, that's your job. Danny, that's your job. Sunday school teacher, Elaine, that's your job. Teach my kids. You've had all of them. They don't know anything. It's your fault. No pressure. Guess what, folks? It's not what the Bible says. It's your job, parents. And ultimately, it's your job, dad, to be spiritually guiding your family. See, Danny and I, we get a fraction of a second compared to the time that you have outside these walls. What are you doing with that time? What are you doing to invest in that little mini you that y'all created when you thought you were just practicing? Why get married? To train up a child. A mom and a dad. Two becoming one. To raise their children to know and love Jesus. The one that died for them. That's why you get married. You get to have babies, and then you get to have babies, and hopefully you can train them up to love Jesus so that they can do the same thing. What are you going to remember for, mom and dad? What's your legacy going to be? Speaking of sacrifice, the one that died for them, Jesus, this leads me to my third and final reason for getting married. Hopefully I'm starting to convince you, while it might be the most difficult thing you've ever done, hopefully you understand the importance of what marriage is. Number three is this. Marriage shows the world Jesus. I tried to think of like a one-word thing since I kind of been going with the one-word thing, but I was like, you could fill in the blank. Redemption, love, grace, faith. You can fill all of that in. Marriage is a picture of Jesus. It shows the world Jesus. And I'm about to show you how. You ready? Ephesians 5, 31 and 32 says this. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Verse 32. This, talking about marriage, is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So why get married, folks? Why get married, church? Why get married, those online? Because it represents Christ and his church. From that first union between two humans, all the way to the end of time when Jesus receives his bride, the church. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. Now, let me explain, because we have to back up in Ephesians a little bit to get this whole picture. This is really cool. You guys ready for this? Ephesians 25 through 29 says this. For husbands, are you listening, husbands? This means love your wives. Just as Christ loved the church, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or a wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. Husbands, listen to me. The Bible is commanding you to love your wife. Do you understand that? But not just with any kind of love. The Bible is commanding you to love your wife like Jesus. The one that died for us. You know who that is? That Jesus. How he loved his church. That's how you're supposed to love your wife. How did Jesus love his church? He willingly and lovingly gave his life for his church, for his bride. See, husbands, this is a call to complete sacrifice. It's a call to do good and to love your wife, even if she isn't returning the favor. Did you hear that? Even if she isn't returning the favor. Well, my wife won't have sex with me. We haven't had anything. All right, Rico Suave. When was the last time you made any attempt to pursue your wife? You can't put your video game controller down or your cell phone down long enough to hold your wife's hand. And what you looked at on your cell phone surely is not going to make you want to pursue your wife. You want to complain, right? You want a dime. You want a 10, man, right? I want my wife to be a 10. And you're offering like a 0.7. Right? We got to love our wives, self-sacrificing, even if she isn't doing her part. Same thing. Women, even if your man is, if your husband is not doing his part, you're still held responsible for your part. You still have to do what's right. That's the love that Jesus had for his church. But right now we're talking about husbands. See, Jesus went to the cross to die for us while we were yet sinners. You and I can be incredibly, extremely unlovable. Amen, Annie? I can be unlovable. But it's this love that I'm talking about that puts a wife's needs above your own, husband. You always want what's best for her. You never stop the pursuit of her. And to lift her up and love her every day like Christ loved the church. See, this is the love that is supposed to show the whole world and your wife and your kids the love that Christ has for his own children. Let's see what it says about wives. I'm almost done, I promise. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24 says this. For wives. You listening, wives? This means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Okay. This is where society will give some pushback. Wives will say, women will say, Matt, I hear a lot of talk in there about submitting to this bum that God gave me. I wouldn't follow him across the street. Many Christian husbands don't even come close to hitting the mark with the responsibilities that God has given you. But the instructions here are rooted in what Jesus has done for us. See, husbands, if you don't hear not one daggone thing I say from here until the end of my lifetime, I need you to hear this. Husbands, you gotta hear this. And you have to believe me. You have to believe me. If you're loving your wife, husbands, if you're loving your wife like Christ loves and loved his church, leading her in a self-sacrificial love. Let me say that again. Leading her in a self-sacrificial love. Loving her like you love yourself. Loving her like Jesus loved the church. I'll say it again. And if you do this, and you do it well, your wife, listen to me, she cannot help but submit and love you back. She can't help it. It's how God created her. Wives, if you know your husband truly has your best interest in mind and is daily trying to live out Christ's sacrificial love for you, Tell me if I'm wrong, please, but submission wouldn't be that difficult for you. If that is what your husband was doing, living it out, self-sacrifice, loving you like Christ loved the church, if you love your life, if you loved your wife that way, like it says here in Ephesians, black and white, I promise you, husbands, your wife will follow you to the center of the sun. I promise. Here in Ephesians 5, these verses I read them at every single wedding that I do. Every single one. What I need you to understand is through all of that, marriage is not even the main point. A thriving and successful marriage is only a signpost that is pointing to God. When your marriage is functioning properly, as we just described here in Ephesians, it helps the world see God and his love for them. It's all pointing back to Jesus. Don't you see that? This marriage, it all points to Jesus and his love for us. If you know your husband truly has your best interest in mind, and he's wanting to live this out, if he truly loves you, trusting your husband is not going to be that difficult. And just as the church submits to Christ, the wife is supposed to submit to her husband. When a husband and wife come together in marriage, they commit to God's plan for their lives. This plan includes companionship. It includes procreation, raising children in a God-fearing home, and using your marriages as one of your biggest testimonies to a lost and hurting and dying world. People someday hopefully will ask me, how in the world have you stayed married for so long? And my only answer is through the faith and love of Jesus Christ. By grace I'm saved. Here's Jesus. He's given me this perfect picture. He's allowed me to be married and share this experience with someone else. It's a beautiful thing. So as the praise team comes, I'm done. Folks, listen. Marriage is a difficult topic. Christian or not Christian, you're in for a ride. I promise you that. But hopefully today we've answered just a little bit of why we should get married. Go ahead and stand to your feet. As the praise team begins to play, listen, this could just be a time. I don't know where you're at in your personal relationship with Jesus, in your marriage relationship with each other. I don't know where everyone is. But when I talk about marriage being a picture of the love of Jesus, there's some of you in this room right now that maybe you've not experienced that love. I'm not talking about a spouse. I'm talking about the love of Jesus. Because he died for you and he died for me and I didn't deserve it. He died on a Roman cross, but the good news is that he rose again. He rose again just like he said he would. And someday he's going to come back to get me. And if he doesn't come back to get me, I'm going to go to him. But today, where are you at spiritually in your life with your relationship? That picture of a love that is so strong that he will lay his life down for his bride. Listen, right now you put a gun to my head. I will lay my life down for my wife and not even blink an eye. And I hope that she can sit here and shake her head without question. How much more love does Jesus have for his church? How much love, lost person, does he have for you that maybe doesn't know, I'm trying to figure it out? I'm here to tell you, he loves you. He loves you when you're unlovable. Because I've been unlovable. You've been unlovable. I know you. Tom, you're unlovable. I'm just kidding. I love you to death. But listen, folks, today's the day, right? We put this stuff off. We don't want to have these tough conversations. Today's the day. Right? Figure it out. You got someone in your corner that you're walking this life with. Maybe you're here by yourself and your husband or your wife's at home. Listen, keep praying for them. Keep loving on them. We're in it for the long haul, right? If you're married, it's till death do us part. Now, listen, I want to be very clear. you know, Moses had an excuse for divorce. Jesus talked about divorce. There are situations. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. There are situations and there are times where, listen, we got to go. We got to split up. I get that, okay? But that's not the design. And so if I can help just one couple today figure it out, to know that, like, this marriage thing, God takes it very serious. Society doesn't. You enter into a marriage right now, and it's not until death do us part, it's until it doesn't work out. Until you do something that makes me mad, and I find someone else. It's still death do us part. Forever and ever. Guess what? Jesus is never going to abandon his church. The husband is never going to abandon his bride. He died for her. You stick together. Whatever your last name is, you stick together. Trammels, we stick together, no matter what. So if you're here today, man, you just need to grab your husband, your wife, say, listen, I don't like you very much right now, but I love you. And God gave this, and it's part of the plan. I don't know. I don't understand. Let's just go pray together. You can pray right there. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to give you a time of response.